I think the bank in general is of the view that much of the attention of the G8 so far in this recession has been on their domestic economies, on trying to set the financial sector back on track and providing stimulus to the domestic economies. And that's absolutely sensible and right. But now is the time to turn their vision outward a little bit, to take a look at what the implications that this is having for poorer countries and the longer-term implications that those impacts are going to have for them. Because ultimately, what's been occurring over the last 10, 15 years is much of the growth and the dynamism in the global economy that high-income countries have benefited from has been coming from developing countries. And it's essential that this crisis that had little to do with anything that they did not damage permanently what has become the world's growth machine. And so really, I think what the bank is going to be arguing for is for the G8 countries to look a little bit further afield to see what they can do to help countries, the poorer countries, weather this storm.
In terms of the bank's recommendations for macro or micro economic policies to help weather or overcome the recession, what types of advice are you giving to developing countries? I assume that one of them would be warning everybody, including the developing world, against protectionism.
Well, certainly warnings against protectionism is a big part of it. We know that part of what made the Great Depression great was the protectionist sort of tit-for-tat escalation that came with it. So, and I think there's wide recognition that that is not the way to go. That said, virtually every country is implementing policies at some level which are protectionist at heart. So Buy America policies or Buy Chinese policies ultimately are protectionist policies. But it's our sense that the extent to which that is occurring is much less so than in the past, and that we're probably in good shape on that ground. For the poor African countries, as I said at the outset, the issue really is one of trying to maintain the level of spending, maintain the level of programs that are already existent. These are not countries that have the resources nor the ability to borrow that would allow them to start a countercyclical policy like we've seen in the United States. The real issue is to try and maintain their critical programs in terms of healthcare, in terms of education, in terms of maintenance of already existing infrastructure that will ensure that when this downturn passes, that they're in a good shape to rebound.
When you said counter-cyclical policy is used by the U.S., but not in the developing world because they lack the finances, counter-cyclical meaning that we have the ability to use government to boost spending?
That's exactly what I mean. So the stimulus program of the Obama government or the European government is something that is financed through two mechanisms, basically. One is borrowing from the domestic population, selling bonds to Americans, but also selling bonds to the rest of the world. Now, for the developing countries, they don't have that domestic financial market that would allow them to sell bonds to their local population. So they don't have that mechanism to finance deficit spending. And they also, in the current circumstances, have much reduced access to international financial flows. And for those two reasons, because there's nobody that's going to lend them the money to spend more than they're bringing in terms of tax revenues, they're really very deeply constrained. That's part of the reason that the bank is stepping in and boosting its lending, is in an effort to help them maintain spending levels despite reduced revenues.